we're back on the Boss Man Show with Marshall A. So, Marshall A, I said in the introduction that you're very pregnant. You know, so let's ask in general, how's it been for you, your experience pregnancy wise? Is this your first child? Tell me all about what's going on with that.
Well, currently I'm 36 weeks, 37. So you consider full time, like right at 37. You can go before. Doctors feel like okay if you go anytime after 37, but full term is 40. But for me personally, I've had a wonderful pregnancy. I have a wonderful support system. I think support systems are what kind of gets you through. So my husband, mom, cousins, I've been able to cut off who I didn't want around during this time, because I'm very into my own zen kind of moment. But for me, pregnancy has been good. Like, now she's beating me up at night because my belly is like so heavy or whatever. I'm not sleeping too well. But as far as my pregnancy, it's going well.
So you're having a girl, because she's having a girl. So we see that having a girl. So when you say beating you up, what is that? Okay, because a lot of our people are ignorant like me. There's a lot of ignorant men on here listening to the show. So what does beat you up mean?
Well, what happens at the later stages in pregnancy is the baby gets stronger, right? So since they're stronger, they're bigger. And they have more of a confined space to move in. So they're just really doing a lot of stretching, so it's like a lot of kicking. You can even feel like the top part of her body, meaning like her back or her butt, like pushing up where my navel is. So she has less space. So to me, it just feels like, ooh, what you doing in there? Because you pushing me all around and making me uncomfortable. But it's because she has less room to move in as well. So,
no doubt. So 37 weeks, you say, for the full term. I did not know that. See, learned something already. Did not know that was called full term. I don't have any kids. Don't know what that means. So we have that here. 37 weeks is full term. So does that mean that your baby can come like any day now, or do you know when it's coming, or you don't? How's that work? Do you kind of on guard at all times?
Well, the doctors give you a due date. So my due date is June 12th. You can do activities and things to naturally induce your labor. So for me personally, I do a lot of walking. There's a red raspberry organic tea that you take, which basically makes your uterus contract, because your uterus has to contract to actually help push the baby out. You can eat dates, you can eat pineapples, those things kind of like loosen your cervix. So it's kind of like a baby will come when a baby is ready to come, but it's also telltale signs with your body, meaning like your cervix is opening or thinning at least, so the baby can start coming through, the birth canal or whatever. But for me, I don't think like she's coming like tomorrow, but I'm ready for her if we were to start like active labor or laboring right now. I am ready. So it's just basically the doctors give you a window. Like anything after 37 is like, okay, you're clear. Like we don't have to worry about her not being fully developed. She's just fully developed. Now she can come at 40 or she can come at 41 weeks. It's just really kind of up to her.
Now, you said something about the doctors. I know with black people and black women in general, the doctors can act kind of funny with y'all for us giving you what you want for us, medicines and things of that nature. Has your doctor empowered you, per se, to dictate what you want to happen with your pregnancy and your body and your birth plan?
Well, I beg to differ from that comment. I don't think that people give black women less care or less access to medicine. I think a lot of times you as the patient need to do your own self-directed learning or your own due diligence with yourself. I think a lot of times we just go in expecting a doctor just to tell us everything. No, it's literature you need to read yourself. It's things you need to look up yourself. We have access to so much information via the internet. So I really feel like we should do our own due diligence with going in, and their job is to make sure that you have a baby that is healthy. So from my experience, I haven't experienced any of that. Like, I got literature from the beginning, resources from the beginning. I can email my doctor and get a response back if I have a question, always available. So I think we have to just be a little bit more proactive with our own lives and our own needs when we interact with our doctors or physicians.
I hear that, but I will push back, slightly push back and say something, but you ain't realize sometimes the access is different depending on who you go to and what kind of place it is. Cause so I feel like Grady can give us the same services you would at Emory or Piedmont. So I'm just throwing it out there, but I do see what you're saying for sure. Now for you, nutrition wise, how has that been? Because I know it's a little different situation when you're carrying a baby. So how's nutrition been, and cravings wise, how's your diet changed?
Well, I always say, I laugh because I feel like you are renting your body out to a baby, meaning like you're no longer the homeowner, you're renting it out. So things that you eat or you want is not necessarily about you anymore, or you need to adjust to some way. So for me, I mean, I've always kind of had a healthy diet. I work out. I think things that I've already done prior to getting pregnant, excuse me, but I'm a little bit more conscious of it. So like my cravings, I haven't had a ton of cravings, but I do enjoy pizza and I have enjoyed like hamburgers during this pregnancy. But what I would try to do is instead of eating the French fries, I'll try to eat like carrots on the side or still eat fruit or make sure that day that I made a smoothie or something like that, where I'm making sure that I'm still getting some sort of nutritional value and I'm not just eating empty calories from, you know, a burger or something. But I also try to trick myself like, okay, yes, I put a tomato on here, I put an onion on here, I did put some lettuce on here, I get protein from the burger. So I try to trick my mind a little bit with what I'm eating, but you definitely have to be aware of what you're consuming and just making sure you're taking your prenatal vitamins and you're getting some sort of, you know, vegetables and fruit, because that's what your baby is going to need to develop.
So that eating for two things, not really real as people say it is.
No, though, I want to call them lazy because everybody just go through their own situation. But I think women who, you know, everybody's situation is different. So I'm not bashing anybody, but I do think that's just an excuse. Women who just want to sit on the couch and just eat after eat, you know, want every piece of dessert, every this, every that. I think that's just their own selfish indulging that they want to do, because you don't need that. And actually, when you get closer to the end, because your body has less room because the baby is taking up more space, you can't eat large meals. You have to eat smaller portions more often, at least like 4 or 5 times throughout the day, because you can't eat a whole bowl of pasta like you used to, because your stomach can't take it, and then you get heartburn and acid reflux and things like that. So
now, like, so for dealing with the space, how's it been for you trying to manage stretch marks, you know, as your body changes and as your body grows?
Well, see, I must just be lucky, honey, because I don't have no stretch marks. I don't have any stretch marks. Now, what I do consistently is I put shea butter, you know, on my stomach daily. But I put it on all my skin, but I make it a point to put shea butter on my stomach at least like twice a day. But I don't have any stretch marks, but a lot of that stuff they say is more genetic than not. And my mom doesn't have stretch marks and she has 2 kids, so.
Wow. Now did you get that weird line or whatever? I don't know what it's called. That weird line.
Yeah. I definitely have that. That was, I'm not going to say that was one of the telltale signs that I was pregnant, because I kind of knew my body too, but I definitely saw it getting darker. And yes, it runs literally all the way from like the top of your vagina all the way like to your breastbone. Like, wow. And it is dark. It is there. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, all I know is that weird line. So I'm like, yeah, that weird line. I was like, whatever, you know?
Yeah. And I can't think of what it's called offhand, but yeah, it's there. And most women, we do get it. Yeah.
No doubt. So it's a cream for that, is it?
No, I think that one's going to be there, but I think that's one of those nature things where it will eventually fade and go back to normal once you have the baby, I think.
Now, how have you managed pain? I'm pretty sure you're in some pain. You know, you say you're active, like exercise. So how have you managed exercise, dealing with pain, trying to sleep, and trying to, you know, do stuff that way?
Well, the main thing that you have to do when you have pain is you have to work out. Like, people think like, oh, if I have back pain, I'm just going to sit on the couch. No, that's going to make it worse. Like I say, I do a lot of walking. You need to do a lot of stretching. Some people prefer like yoga. You have to stay active. I'm at a point now where I go to get a massage once a week. So you have to get massages. You know, if you do have a partner at home, like I have a husband, so I'm like, oh, come over here, rub my back. But those are like the only things. Like, my back hurts. My feet are swollen now, but that could be like just diet and, you know, the fluid or whatever. So it's just kind of like staying active to maintain. But sitting here talking to you today, like, I'm not in any pain. Like, my back isn't hurting, legs aren't hurting, stomach isn't hurting, none of that. For sleeping wise, you know, it's just uncomfortable to a sense because it's so much weight on you, and I have a smaller frame, so I kind of sleep sitting up a little bit, just because if you're laying down or laying back, that all that weight is pressing like against your diaphragm, so it makes it kind of harder to breathe. So I sleep with a lot of pillows. I have one of those C pillows. My husband hates those. He feels like it's a divider in the bed with us. But
respect. I feel the same way. Shout out to your husband. I feel the same way.
Yeah, he hates those things, but it really works because you have to be propped up, and you just need that extra support. So that's how what I do to maintain to be comfortable.
Yeah, because I can only imagine, like, I'm sitting here with you right now, I'm thinking, she got to be in pain. I'm just being real. Like, she got to be in pain. Like, I'm not feeble. I'm not playing. Like, she's very pregnant. I'm trying to, I'm concerned. I said, is she okay?
No, like, for me, like, I could still do squats. I could still do lunges. You know, I could run, but I don't want to run because I don't want to trip and fall, you know, things like that. But no, I'm fine. I'm not in any pain sitting here talking to you. That's funny.
I've been trying to be very respectful of her. I say, people, I'm trying to be fair to people. I almost, oh my God, hoping I got her in a bad spot, but it's all to the good. So now let me ask you this. So how was fun? Was it trying to, you know, get the room ready for her arrival, buying stuff? How fun has that been for you and your husband?
Well, that part is exciting, just because I do personal styling. You know, when you do styling, your whole job is to curate different looks and make somebody happy when they see their final look. And it kind of ties into like designing as well, like home decor, just because you're already good with colors and themes and things like that. So that part was fun, like coming up with a theme. It's not complete yet. You know, I've ran into a few problems with some of my furniture store choices, but I'll leave them nameless at the moment. But I would just say to any mom, make sure you start early and stay on it when it's time for your deliveries, just because, you know, you're just a customer to them. They're not really thinking about the urgency with it. So just stay on that. But as far as the designing piece, you know, just enjoy that process. Enjoy that time. Enjoy it, doing it with your partner or with your mom, if your mom is around, or your cousins or things like that, just to enjoy the moment.
Has this experience made you and your husband even closer?
You know what? I think this journey is going to make us closer. We've always had like a good relationship, but I think having a baby is going to change a lot of things, like, because it's just been us. He does have a daughter from a previous marriage, but she doesn't live with us. But I think with someone being in the house now daily with us, you know, he's definitely like, you know, how did you sleep? How are you feeling? What do you need? Did you get this? Did you get that? He's online ordering stuff that I didn't even know, like seatbelts for pregnant women, just so the seatbelt isn't like smashing against you if you happen to get in a car accident. So you just have to have a man that's very into you, or a partner who's into you. And I think you will get closer, because it's so life changing.
Yeah, I know. I can only imagine when I have children how my life is going to change. I know for you, with this being for you your first, so this is going to affect how you do your business now, for us, the gigs you take, you know, trying to manage that, being a mom, and I'm well, you need to become a mompreneur now. You know, how's that mindset look for you right now as you prepare these next few weeks?
You know what? It's funny. A few things I have turned down, like, since my latter months, so it's already like, hey, this is coming in between. But what I will say is, I think it's just gonna have to be an adjustment. I'm gonna have to be more particular on the jobs that I do, how much time that I have to spend away from home, because I'm definitely somebody who, you know, I've kind of set my life up to do things that I want to enjoy, you know, so I'm not going to be doing things that I don't necessarily want to do at the time. So I think it's just going to be, you know, managing my time a little bit better, being a little bit more selective with jobs that I do take. But I think it is going to change, because it has changed, because a baby is just going to be demanding. And I'm definitely going to be a mom first. So
I hear that, no doubt. And so before you transfer into your styling and your fashion influencer and celebrity stylist, so with you being a designer, so how have you approached maternity clothes? Do you just do them, design them yourself? You put your own thing together? How's that been for you?
Well, I'm not a designer. So styling, we just put outfits together. We just put looks together. Gotcha. So I'm like, okay, this top looks good with these pants, with this jewelry, with these shoes. What I've done... Maternity clothes are a particular design for a particular woman that isn't necessarily my style. So what I have chosen to do is just go up in a size in regular clothing, or I purchase a lot of things that has a lot of stretch that once I have the baby, I could still wear it again.
No doubt, because them clothes are like some clothes for grannies almost.
Yeah, a lot of them are, or they have that like elastic. You think that it works, but I don't really like anything constricting like to me or to clothes. So I just like a lot of flowy kind of material and things like that. But if you go up on a size, you kind of like, okay, for me anyway, that's what I did. Or even just wearing, you know, t-shirts. I like to wear a lot of dresses and things like that. You just got to have a little, it just has to be a little wide, so your bump kind of has a little room.
I can imagine that, you know, I can imagine that. So let's talk about your businesses. You know, Elements of Style by Marshall A. Tell me when did you decide to want to do that? When did that come to your mind? I will tell you a quick story, my background. I decided I want to be in media to 2010. Eating a Philly cheesesteak at college. I said, I don't want to do what I was majoring in. Okay.
Right.
So I decided to get in radio. So for you, was you like, aha moment, I want to do this style?
Well, so Elements of Style began in 2016. So I already had an undergrad from Kent State University, and I have a master's of education from Cleveland State University. I'm originally from Cleveland, Ohio. He wasn't my husband then, but we were together, and we normally take a lot of trips. In this particular year, we did not take a trip. And it was like during like a break. I was working for the government at the time, and we had just bought a house, and I had decorated the house. And I remember the the realtor, she had came back for our housewarming party, and she was like, who did your decor? And I was like, honey, I did the decor. She was like, no, there's no way. I was like, yeah, I did. So I had started just getting messages from everybody. I mean, when I was in high school, I used to write down like what I used to wear so I wouldn't repeat the outfits, and I would always tell my friends what to wear. I've just always been a fashionable person. It's just when I was growing up, family was like, that's not the way to money. You have to go get a degree and you have to this. So, you know, when you're young, you listen to your family because you don't really know what the world has to offer. So I was like, okay, well, after I had my degrees and, you know, I was working, I was like, okay, well, what else is it? Because this just can't be it. Mm-hmm. Like, I just knew this couldn't be it. You just get a job and you just work that job for 30 years and that's it. Like, it was bringing nothing to me. So anyway, I was just getting a lot of outside kind of, I think it was just God, like, using other people to come to me. So that's when I decided to just tie my education with my love of fashion and that birthed Elements of Style.
No doubt. In fashion, I tell you what, fashion is one of it. I'm not fashionable. I'm just a simple dude. Jeans and a polo. That's my fashion. Jeans, polo, and a hat. That's my. I don't wear jewelry. My phone's my jewelry. Okay. That's my jewelry. My right. phone. Now, fashion wise, as a young girl, were you always like, as a young girl, even like when you were 6-7 years old, asking your mom like, hey mom, what's this and I want to wear this? Because I know that fashion as a kid, man, had to be fun.
You know what? It's funny. I will say my family is not like a fashionable family. So when I really believe that you are put on this earth for whatever your purpose is, I really truly believe that because, yeah, I was 3 years old playing in my grandma's heels, and I've always been like the girly girl, like all of my life. But I never went to like my mom or my grandma like, hey, well, what's this and how's this? It's kind of like, I don't want to say like I figured it out, but it's kind of like I just figured it out on my own kind of thing.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Did you like dress dolls, somebody like that? Did I dress dolls, somebody like that?
Well, with my age, I was a big Barbie doll person. Like me and Barbie was like everything. So I had all the clothes, you know, all the little structures and toys for that. I did have dolls, of course, but I was more of Barbie. Barbie was a little bit, you know, older than a doll, so to speak. So she always had more jazzy clothes than a doll did.
Yeah. Yeah, like,
if that makes sense.
Yeah, then I was always destroying the Barbie dolls. Oh, that's what I was doing with my G.I. Joe men, destroying the Barbie dolls. I don't like Barbie dolls.
See.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
So now, being Elements of Style, being a celebrity stylist, how did you get involved? I saw that you've done stuff with Trina, you know, done stuff with Rashawn Ali, who's a radio vet who I know for years, you know, Trina Braxton. So how did you get involved in with celebrities? Like, what was the first one who gave you opportunities to see what you can do for them?
Where I first started is, and I don't like to give all the gems out, but I'll give what I can. I started more locally, local personalities, radio stations, people who were popping in the city. I basically just reached out like, hey, this is what I do. You know, you have these events going on. And it's not always about, like, people think that a stylist is just a person, like, you don't know how to dress, so I'm telling you how to dress. No, you may not have time. So that's why a lot of the celebrities, they need stylists just because simply they don't have time to go searching for what's hot and what to put with this. They just don't have the time for it, so they just pay someone else to do it. So that's kind of like where I got my foot in the door with it. And just like anything, once you build a resume and you have a name, the referrals just necessarily kind of like come in. And if you also know other people in your field that if they can't do the job one day, they might pass it on to you. So that happens too. So it's really good to know other people who are in the field of what you want to do. We're at a time now, especially if you're Black, you kind of feel like everything is a competition. But no, like, get to know who else is doing whatever it is that you want to do. If it's styling, if it's makeup, hair, media, because you can't make every job. So if it's things that you can't make, you just refer it to somebody else and they're gonna remember that. So I had jobs too from referrals from other stylists as well, from things that they couldn't make.
You said a word there, because I'm trying to get there with the Black media people in Atlanta. We it's a problem called the Braves and Falcons. We had to tackle. I'm trying to get them together, but some of them too scared to say a word.
Right.
Because without saying what I'm saying is they don't like, if you don't work for somebody that's corporately backed, they don't want you in there. That doesn't mean that's the Falcons and the Braves. So so I've been throwing it out there. So that's a fight we try to fight. So you say that word right there. Because I do feel like with Black people, we always are in competition with each other. We never want to come together because nobody wants to be the one. I got mine, you ain't going to take mine. But I do feel like if we partner up more, we could expand our reach and get more stuff done.
Yeah, you do have to collaborate, but you also have to know who to collaborate with.
Amen to that.
You have to understand your level and understand that, you know, everybody want to be at the top. Everybody want to be Floyd Mayweather, right? Everybody want to run their own organization, make all the money. But it's a process, and you have to go through different stages so it can get you ready for whatever. But I'm also big on, you can't share your brand with everybody.
Amen to that.
And you have to, not saying be on the same level, but you either have to have the same work ethic. I have to see the same kind of like flow or the same response, because what will happen is people will bring you down if you're the one that's steadily doing so much of the footwork and they're just sitting there trying to tag on and use your name. And I think a lot of times people tend to think like, oh, okay, well, you know, you may not be as big as Beyonce, but girl, you still have influence. And I say it all the time, like, yeah, I don't need 20,000 followers, but I have true following with people who truly follow what it is that I do, that could call me or I could call them and they like, okay, trust your ideas and trust what it is that you're doing. So, you know, keep that little piece in mind, because you do have people that you influence on a day-to-day or that have access to you, or you may not want to share with everybody. So just be very particular with who you do collaborate with and, you know, where your message will end up.
No doubt. And it also, as being a stylist, so are you going like to the stores for these people, or you guys send them like pictures back, hey, do you like this, or are you putting them stuff pre-done by you together with me, the jewelry, the accessories and the clothes, and they approve or deny it? So how's that work?
Well, I have a few different services. So for my everyday client, meaning that's just professionals, people who are doctors, lawyers, teachers, you might just be going on vacation, people like that, you know, I first start with a style survey, kind of like get an idea of fashion or what event you're going to, and, you know, body parts that you're comfortable showing or you're not comfortable showing, colors that you like, jewelry, if you like bold pieces, small dainty pieces or things like that. So I do I collect information first, and then, you know, I'm the expert, so you kind of just got to go with me. But I do bring you options. So you're like, okay, I like this over that, or I don't want this, or things like that. So once I take the information, I go back and kind of go through it, and then I'm like, okay, these are some looks that I came up with. So those are like for newer clients. For people that I've been working with for a while, it's kind of like simple. It's like, okay, I got an event on this day, you know, like I'll have a schedule the same as like like teams, right? You have like schedule, you have their events for the year, so you already know, and they trust you. So, but it takes time to build that trust with a client. So you just bring whatever and they like, okay, this what you say wear? All right, this what I'm wearing. Other things where I had like other stylists kind of like reach out, where they'll say things like, okay, for their client they needed X, Y, and Z, and I'll find that particular look that they're looking for or something like that if they couldn't finish the job. So it kind of all varies, but at the end of the day, it's just making the client happy, making the client feel good, and just keeping them available to do whatever they're tasked to do, so they don't have to spend so much time searching for clothing to wear.
I'm assuming that is the packages is like a time for you and a budget for them of what you're gonna get for them. I'm assuming that, is that correct?
Yeah, so you have to, it's one fee, but it's basically like two monies, if that makes sense. Like, you still have to pay for your clothing.
Yes.
But you still have to pay me for curating the outfit.
No doubt.
So it's a lot of time. I have to first be creative. Everybody isn't creative, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to pay for that. You have to pay to go get the items, right? So that's time with me going to get it, returns, if there's returns, or online, or talking to boutiques, finding out if they have whatever item that I'm looking for, doing a fitting with you, coming back to get the outfit or whatever. So it's a lot of time that you have to put into it. It's not just, you know, you put that outfit on for that event that you were going to be at for 2 hours. Like, yeah, you put that outfit on for 2 hours, but that one look may have taken a total of 10 hours to put together, so to speak. So, yes, you definitely have to come with a budget. I always tell people and my clients and things like that, it's for the person who has that extra coin to spend. You know, if you're somebody who doesn't have $20 to get to work the next week, or you don't have the extra $20 to tip your hairstylist, this isn't the service for you.
I feel that. I can definitely feel that for sure. Now, I did read in your bio, you was on Gucci Mane's video set for 12 hours. How was that?
Yeah, so that is so funny. So when I first started, so Shawn Melson, she was his lead stylist. So she's here. She like has a boutique going on now. She's really cool. So she had like classes for up and coming stylists. So she took like a couple of her stylists there with her. Now, that was my first shoot. Now, it was cool, but when I literally say you're there all day, you're there all day, and you're doing the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over and over one more time. But, you know, it's cool to see successful people in their element, because that day, Gucci Mane was there. Rick Ross was there. It was like another, I can't think of his name now, but he's like a well-known like painter, because he's the one who did like the girls' outfits, like in paint, body paint. It was like just like a lot of celebrities just coming through, and everybody was just like chill or whatever. And his outfits that we had already pulled were kind of like put together. So that's just a time where you get to see them in their element. Like, you put these clothes on them, but you see them performing. So Glorilla, I styled her as well, and it was kind of like the same thing. You put these clothes on them, and then they go out on stage, and you see the clothes, the outfit, everything come alive once they're performing. So that's kind of like a perk. Like, yeah, you're there and you're working if he needs something or if they need something, but that's the perk of the styling. You get to be part of the entourage that day, so to speak.
And you are what the viewers see on the videos and what on the events. You know that you helped put that together, and you can have that pride and joy and say, look what they got. Oh, hey, style by Marshallet.
Yeah, we go. That or like, or like the dancers and, you know, things like that. You like, okay, because it takes more than just one piece to make whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Beyonce is Beyonce. She has her outfit on, but she might have 20 dancers too. you still, they're part of that entire vision. So it's nice when you are a part of a vision. Like I said, when the client is actually happy, and then you get to still like hang out with them. So it's the same thing like with Trina. You give her some outfits, you're around, she picks out what she wants, she might wear it that day or she might not wear it for that particular event, and then it's like, okay, we're gonna be at X, Y, and Z tonight, you coming through, and you're in the section with them. So it kind of is like a give and take. So I will say, working for the government, you know, it paid your bills, but once you get your own company, you have access to so many people and so many different things. It just brings, or it just brought a different experience to my life that I enjoy. And some of it, you know, you don't have to pay. You don't have to pay for it. So it kind of works itself on out.
No doubt. Shout out to all the players who hooked me up with drinks at the bar on the road. Right. Shout out to that. Shout out to that. Shout out to them. Right. No names mentioned. Shout out to them. So tell us, now you told me that you had your own show. So tell me about your show. You as a media as well. So your show, who are some heavy hitters in the fashion game you had on your show that you, and some guy people you want to book going forward?
So with Formula EOSBM, so EOSBM is just Elements of Style by Marshalle. So it was just a way for me to have a voice. So I don't really, on Formula EOSBM, we're not geared towards guests. It's more of, that is the platform that I use to be more vocal. So I do more, not teaching, but I do more teaching and educating and letting my callers like call in with questions. And we have like different topics and things like that. So it's like, that's where I talk about more trendy items, what's going to be in this summer, what you should do for your heels to stop hurting when you out dancing all night, or how to be sexy for your man, or what to wear on vacation, and kind of like everyday things and everyday tips for people. And just it's more like open conversation about fashion, beauty, and travel.
No doubt. Stuff I don't know nothing about. I know about the traveling part, but fashion and beauty, no idea. Yeah. I know about sports, politics, and money. That's what I know about.
That's enough. Everybody got their own little gram of what they know and what they don't. So look, that's what make the world go round.
Now, Marshall, you'll laugh at this. I was at a game in last month. Somebody asked me, do you see her hair? I'm like, I said, it's the same every night. What you mean? Mm-hmm. They was like, you know what that is? That's like, heck, no, I don't know what it is. That's a wig. Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know it was a wig. I just thought the woman had the same every night. They pulled it by, because the wig was like shiny. Sparkly. Yeah. Like, yeah. I thought that was the woman's hair.
Yeah.
She was like, no, Jay, that's a... Well, that's a wig.
If she was stepping, y'all shouldn't even matter if it was a wig or her hair or not, because obviously it looked good. So that's the main point.
I'm like, I don't know. I thought the woman's hair. I don't know about women's hair. I don't know what's a weave, a wig, or what. I know what natural look like, but I don't know what a wig and a weave look like, to be honest with you.
Right, right.
Like I said, because I'm not in that realm. I don't know. But she was like, you see her? I was like, what? What about it? It just shines every day.
That's funny.
It's a wig. I'm like, I did not know it was a wig. Thank you for letting me know.
Y'all ain't supposed to know anyway. I mean, not saying that women even care nowadays, but
look,
if you come out, I think you're just supposed to come out presentable. Come out, leave your house looking like you're about to run into your worst enemy. So just always be ready to go, because that's, people judge you on how you look. So just always be stepping out, you know, in your best foot forward.
I'll be focused on what I'll be focused on, which is the game. And so people bring to me like, look at that waist trainer. Whatever. Look at that girdle. It's a girdle. I don't know. They come point out some stuff. I'm like, I have no idea what you talking about.
Mm-hmm.
I just, because I'm on the front row pretty much. Right. That's why I'm stationed in the front row. Right. So mm-hmm. I'm seeing they come point out to me.
Right.
And I'm like, because the girls who out there, they all know me. Like, man, I don't know. Look, whatever you want to tell me, whatever. I don't know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. They point out to me, like, okay. Like, whatever. Like, I just want to get my content and get my interviews and go home.
Right.
I ain't trying to know about wigs,
waist, got nothing to do with
it. They
ain't got nothing to do with the game.
Waist trainers and I don't need to know about girdles. I don't care.
That's funny. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know.
Why do
women focus on
the
other women
for? Why you telling me vote?
Yeah. Who knows?
Like, hey, look at this. What I'm looking at. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
I have no idea. So let's talk about your boutique, Seychelles Clothing. You know, you're executive brand ambassador for that. Tell me about that. And who can get those clothes from that boutique?
Okay, so Seychelles Clothing is a women's travel brand that carries sizes small through 3X.
Okay.
So it's a colorful brand, fun brand. It's basically everything that you would wear on vacation or if you live somewhere hot. So sunglasses, swimwear, sundresses, you know, suits that are bold in color, meaning like blue, royal blues, or like hot pinks and things like that. And again, it's for the everyday stylish woman. The pieces are chosen for different styles, meaning that this particular style could have been popular. You could have wore it in 2000 or you could still wear it in 2023. Clothing can be very expensive. So a lot of the pieces are timeless pieces that you could wear. If you have a yellow sundress, you could have literally seen this same dress in 1970 or in 2023. It might have been styled differently, meaning like she put a belt or she put an oversized hat or she got on some sexy heels opposed to some kitten heels or some wedges or something like that. But it's for the person who wants the one-stop shop, because everything that Seychelles Clothing, it goes together in a sense. So if you need, again, you're going on vacation, you're going on a six-day vacation, you can get your swimwear. You can get your glasses, you can get your dresses. If you had like a meeting, you could get like a suit for your meeting. It covers all the bases for what is needed while you're traveling at a vacation spot, or if it's just summertime where you live or you live in a warm climate.
Now, can you customize it for those customers who want certain things?
Customize, we don't customize, but if the dollar is right, you know, you customize anything. But what I will do is, you know, I do have a seamstress that will make sure the item looks good on you or is fit for your particular style. But as far as, you would definitely have to pay to change and make the body of the green dress and to put the orange sleeves on it from another dress, you're definitely going to have to pay for that. Not saying that it can't be done. It can be done, but that's not like our specialty.
No doubt. And so, cause with me, I have 41 affiliates all over the country. So for my people out there in Sacto, Sacramento, California, that's an example. Can they order online from you and get shipped to them? And, or is it mostly for people here in Atlanta area?
No, we have a website, an active website. It's www.seychellesclothing.com. So that's Seychelles clothing.com. And you order from us the same way you order from any of your other favorite online shops.
No doubt. So as we close up here, what do you want to tell the listeners, our audience, about the women out there, especially Tanisha and Sacto? Shout out to you, Tanisha. What's good? Who might want to come by some of your summer and just tell them what they can get from you. Tell them all about you, what you want to know before we close this thing out.
Well, what I first want to say is fashion is how you feel. Styling is how you feel when you go out. You want to look good, you want to feel good. I mean, they've been telling us this since basically interviews, right? You look as good as you feel. So clothing is what can do that. So that's just my job, to make women and men feel good when they have to approach whatever they need to approach in their day-to-day life. So just take that time to expand your wardrobe. Don't always look to Instagram for inspiration. Their body type may not be your body type, so you want to talk to an expert who can help you develop your own personal style. You know, we don't dress, hopefully, the same way we dressed when we were 20, and we're now entering into our 40s. So just getting that expert, the same way you'll hire a expert painter to come and paint your living room, is the same reason why you'll hire a stylist to come help you curate a new look, a new vibe. You know, if you just lost yourself because you was taking care of a parent or a loved one, if you just lost a ton of weight and you trying to revamp, because a lot of women still deal with body dysmorphia, if you just had a baby, you trying to do a quick snapback, you know, everybody isn't looking to be dressed like the girl on Instagram or dressed like the girl in the magazine. So just sitting there speaking to someone, having a consultation to go over what is good for your body type, what color looks good on your skin tone, what looks good to accentuate your particular frame, I think is very important. People think you're just putting clothes on people, but no, it's a skill set behind it. So again, I'm Marshalle. You can follow me on all social media platforms at Style by Marshalle. That's MarchaLe. And remember, it's a lifestyle. They're always watching, so give them some good to look at.
And folks, that's it for this on the Boss Man Show. Check this interview out. BossManShow.com. We out.